Before departing Albany for the scheduled end of the legislative session, Democratic state lawmakers pushed through a bill at the Capitol, now awaiting the governor's signature, that is designed to ensure New York City is working toward lowering the class sizes in its schools. To explain the measure, including why it's somewhat controversial and how it fits into a larger conversation about mayoral control of schools in the five boroughs, we're joined by Medina Touré, a New York City education reporter for Politico New York. Welcome to the show, Medina.
Thank you for having me.
So what are state lawmakers hoping to accomplish with this bill? And why do they say, I guess, that they're doing it now?
This legislation that mandates class size reductions was paired with a bill that extends a mayoral control of city schools for 2 years. And basically what state lawmakers are looking to do here is to, over a five-year period, lower class sizes citywide. So basically by 2027, a class size will be limited to 20 students in kindergarten through third grade, 23 students in fourth through eighth grade, and 25 students in high school classes. And this is really the first time that class size reductions are being codified. Obviously, this has generated a lot of interest because from the city's point of view, it was unexpected, but advocates have been pushing for this for a long time. Groups like Class Size Matters and even the teachers union have pointed to the benefits that this can have for boosting student learning, having smaller classes, being able to address individual students' needs. In terms of why this is happening now, advocates do say that this has been a push during every cycle in terms of budgets. There have been attempts in the past. There was a bill in the city council to mandate some strict class size limits there was an agreement between the head of the city's teachers union, Michael Mulgrew, and the speaker of the city council at the time, Corey Johnson, to have that happen. But, you know, Corey Johnson reversed course due to some pushback from the city, is my understanding, and that didn't happen. So some people have been saying that this has been a push for a long time. It's long overdue. Some have pointed to sort of the political aspect of this. This is obviously something that the teachers union has really been pushing. Some have said that, you know, state lawmakers like Michael Benedetto and John Liu, who head the education committees in Albany, are close to the teachers union. So there's been, you know, that sort of perspective. But this is something that's happening. And there is sort of questions about how the city is going to be able to fulfill this and how the proposed school budgets, as you can see with the recent budget, there's going to be $215 million in cuts to school budgets in New York City next school year. Those cuts are going to go up to $375 million in the 2024-2025 school year. So there are questions about how that's going to affect the city's ability to pursue this.
So does this legislation, if it becomes law, represent a big change in practices for New York City schools? I mean, are a lot of them dealing with large class sizes, or is this something that's really going to only affect classes around the margins that have an issue with trying to serve too many kids in one classroom?
Overcrowding in schools has definitely been a big issue in New York City. I take Queens, for example. There are definitely districts there that have experienced overcrowding. There's a big discussion around enrollment. The city has seen a decrease in enrollment. There's something like 120,000 families that have left the school system over the last 5 years. And that's a figure that city officials have been pointing to. And there's been questions also about how these school budget cuts are going to affect everything. There's a formula called Fair Student Funding that's sort of like the main source of funding for schools. And that funding is allocated based on, each school's enrollment figures. And so what has happened in the past is that, you know, the funding you get is based on your enrollment. During the pandemic, the city paused that practice because there was federal stimulus funding, and now they're going back to that practice. So there are questions there about how that's going to impact everything. And in terms of class size, there are questions about how the city is going to fulfill this and how this is going to affect some of the services that they offer.
Is it clear from your understanding of this bill what the consequence would be for the city if it fails to lower class sizes to the levels required under this bill?
For starters, like, the city has made the argument that it would have to cut certain services. They've spoken about loss of social workers, loss of key services, and that it could be difficult to implement initiatives like universal pre-kindergarten and dyslexia screenings in public schools. But yeah, like, now that this is like a legal mandate, this kind of, I should be fair and note that it hasn't been signed into law yet. But if this becomes a legal mandate, that the city is going to, in a sense, have to scramble to meet this, is their point of view. There has been, it's interesting, just speaking with state lawmakers, I have kind of, you know, asked them, like, do they, you know, what they think about the city's argument that there isn't funding available, because they've been talking about foundation aid funding. And, you know, they have, one of them, at least Assemblyman Benedetto, was saying that, you know, if the city needs additional funding, that's something that they could revisit. So, you know, they haven't really spoken as much about what would happen legally if they don't meet it. But if this is something that's being codified, it's like, I think that's where a lot of the fear is coming from on the city's end of things, is that because this is something, like, if signed into law, that they will be legally bound to do, they're saying that it might put them in a position where they have to cut certain services in order to meet these requirements.
Yeah, I have to imagine if this is enshrined in state law, that it would then be grounds, say, for a parent to bring a lawsuit potentially against the city, right, if they were in a classroom, their kid was in a classroom with too many kids. In addition, though, to maybe staffing up with more teachers to meet this needs, what about the actual physical space to have more classrooms? Is that something that represents an obstacle to implementing this? Does the school system have enough classrooms to actually accommodate smaller classrooms?
Yeah, no, that's definitely a very good question. And it's so interesting because they have said that, I remember in a recent oversight hearing, the city did say that because enrollment has declined, there has been, as I mentioned before, like, you know, the 120,000 families that left over the last 5 years, the figure that the city points to, and also, you know, declines due to the pandemic, that they have seen class sizes drop overall. So they have, in a sense, they have seen class size drop because of those things. But I think what's interesting also, another thing that the city has been saying is just, you talked about the capital costs and space, that there is a concern there about, you know, the capital costs that come with building more schools and classrooms citywide. I remember Mayor Adams recently said that it would be $20 billion in capital. They've also pointed to, like, just the cost of reducing class size in kindergarten through fifth grade alone being about $500 million a year. So yeah, there is a question of, like, building seats and building more classroom seats, building more schools. But the advocates continue, and the teachers union and state lawmakers continue to point to the funding from foundation aid as funding that can be used. And they also point to the fact that because enrollment has dropped already, the city could continue meeting that target because there have been declines already.
Is there a consensus among the education community that smaller class sizes are the silver bullet to the education woes in New York City, or really any school around the state? Or is there debate about what represents the best investments in terms of times and resources to improving education outcomes? Maybe it's spending money in other places, like the social workers that you mentioned. So is this clearly the best option forward, or are there people who would say this isn't necessarily the best type of mandate?
There's been sort of a mixed bag in terms of opinions on this in the education community, even in terms of research. You know, I mentioned before that advocates for reducing class sizes have pointed to how having smaller class sizes can really boost student learning. When you have smaller class sizes, you can focus more on students individually, You know, if you have you can determine students who may be struggling and students who may be ready to move on to the next level. And they have also spoken about that, particularly for vulnerable student populations like English language learner students, students with disabilities, students who may need more attention. At the same time, as you said, there are some critics who feel that reducing class sizes has limited value and that it could potentially take money away from more effective investments. And it's so interesting. I did see a recent Chalkbeat story about this very issue, like whether or not smaller class sizes work. And there has been a mixed bag. I did see, for example, the story was talking about how in Minnesota, 10 fewer kids in a class did not necessarily result, or it ended up resulting in a pretty small increase in test scores. And there were some studies in Connecticut and Florida that saw that smaller classes didn't seem to boost test scores at all, right? So there have been instances where it hasn't worked, but I did speak with Leonie Hameson at Class Size Matters, and she mentioned that Florida has much lower class size caps in their state constitution. So it seems like there's been kind of a mixed bag, like in some instances it may work and in some instances it may not. So there doesn't seem to be a complete consensus there.
Well, finally, do you think we should view this legislation, if we were taking a very cynical look at it, as I guess a trade-off for the legislature signing off on another extension of mayoral control? Should we view this as Democratic lawmakers really wanting to have their fingers in the New York City school district, something that they don't necessarily get to do as much, considering that the mayor has broad powers over what happened in the five boroughs?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that that's a fair analysis. I mean, it's so interesting, like just in covering mayoral control and talking to people, is it going to be 4 years? Is it going to be two? Is it going to be two? A lot of people were saying, well, you know, he's not going to get 4 years, but at the same time, the lawmakers are not going to completely destabilize or scrap mayoral control either. So I do kind of see that point of view of like, okay, we're going to give this to him midway. We're going to give him the 2 years, but we have to do something that kind of illustrates our power and allows us to have influence what happens. And beyond class size, I should note that another major thing that happened with this, because obviously you have the mayoral control bill and the class size bill. In the mayoral control bill, they did make some changes to the structure of the panel for educational policy. Originally, there were 15 members, and that was 9 mayoral appointees, 5 borough president appointees, and 1 parent elected member. Now there's 23 members on the panel for educational policy. So there's 13 mayoral appointees, 5 borough president appointees, and then there's 5 parent elected members now. So one representing each borough, each appointed by a community education council. They also now have fixed 1-year terms. So I feel like between the class size legislation and, you know, the 2 years and some of these changes they made to this panel for educational policy, which is the DOE's governing body, it seems like, you know, the lawmakers are, as you said, they're trying to kind of mark their power and have a little bit more say of what happens in the city.
Well, we've been speaking with Medina Touré. She's an education reporter for Politico New York. Medina, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate the time.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.